This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for March 26, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. The Wall Street Journal's owner is buying Investors Business Daily for $275 million, the Wall Street Journal reported. News Corp, NWS, agreed to buy digital first financial news and research publisher Investors Business Daily for $275 million, a deal that will further expand the company's portfolio of publications catering to investors. Don't forget to fill out the JLN survey. We will donate to three respondents' favorite charities. We will also award a $250 Amazon gift card to one of the participants. Click on the image above to take the survey. Lynn Merrick of Payments Dive has a new story titled Illinois Moves to Create Special Charter for Digital Asset Trusts. The subheadline says, Illinois angles to get a jump on other states and an edge in attracting new business by creating a new special banking charter for digital asset trusts. By the way, you can follow her on Twitter at Lynn Merrick. You might be interested in the Trading and Best Execution Summit APEC, an online event by Capital Market Strategies that examines trading and best execution issues impacting institutional investors. The event will be broadcast from Hong Kong on April 20th and 21st. You can check the link for local times. Former BAC CEO and former Senator Kelly Loeffler has been tweeting a little lately in support of the election law signed by Georgia Governor Brian Kemp yesterday. Her Twitter handle is KLoeffler. From our friends at SGX about their website, as at 26 March 2021, 6:25 p.m., please be informed that due to website maintenance, there will be intermittent access to our site from 8 a.m. the 27th of March to 8 p.m. the 28th of March, Singapore time. We apologize for any inconvenience caused. There were no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. We're a bit backed up with video stories to publish, partly because of losing a video editor and also because Patrick Lothian has been on a paternity leave. He returns Monday. Look for us to start cranking out some of the recently shot videos and others we have had on our shelf for a while. Late yesterday, CFTC Commissioner Brian Quintenz dropped a long dissent to ErisX last-minute withdrawal of its proposed football gambling contracts. Yep, it seems that the mere withdrawal of ErisX's application was not going to get in the way of Quintenz railing against his own commission's possible decision against ErisX because ErisX had forfeited the game. In his statement, the commissioner rails against an order that was never ordered. Along the way, he mocks the all-pro CFTC staff who, he confesses, worked diligently enough but did not appreciate the U.S. Constitution the way he does, implying that the CFTC is just not willing to do the hard work. Quintenz also said it's understandable for the CFTC to not want event contracts trading under its jurisdiction as the basis for turning down ErisX's NFL contracts. In his 8,500-word piece, Quintenz ignores the fact that the CFTC has regulated Nadex's offering of 10,000 different event contracts since 2004. The CFTC recently licensed Kalshi to be another events contract trading venue, Tom Thompson reported. A little more than a week ago, during Boca V, CFTC acting chairman Rostin Benham was telling FIA President Walt Lucan how collegial the commissioners were. Then last Friday, Commissioner Dawn Stump consented to fining Coinbase, yet was impelled to skewer the commission's allocations of its resources in an unusual published statement. Less than a week after that, CFTC Commissioner Quintenz had the agency publish his 8,500-word dissent to a commission action that, in fact, did not take place. If this is how collegiality works, you have to wonder what it's like when the commissioners don't get along, Tom Thompson reported. Here is another Tom Thompson report. Some 400 days into the global pandemic, the session at the week's Eurex Derivative Forum titled The Changing Shape of Markets dealt briefly with the havoc wreaked on European equity options and dividend futures markets when corporate payouts were thrown into doubt last year. John Keogh, chairman of Susquehanna International Group's executive committee, said that now that dividend policies are returning to normal, dividend contracts might again be used for hedging dividend risk, or, as he has heard, even as an inflation hedge by those who see inflation picking up this year. Speaking with Annette Weisbach, CNBC correspondent for Germany, Keogh said that European options markets might need to learn a lesson from the recent experience in the interest rate markets, where ESMA, the EU regulator, says 60% of the over-the-counter interest rate transactions are cleared. He said that a similar move for equity options, also forcing them onto exchanges, might be a welcome development. Keogh also expressed concern that retail order flow for options tends to go into structured products like warrants rather than onto exchanges. Here's a report from Suzanne Cosgrove. Will Ackworth, Senior Vice President of Publications, Data, and Research at FIA, just published his take on last week's FIA Boca V conference. Reviewing the highlights, he said Boca offered 6 lessons for the derivatives industry. The list is not surprising. Brexit is poised to disrupt the clearing landscape in Europe. Exchange leaders are worried about political risk in relations with China. The rise of retail is spilling over into derivatives. ESG is the next mega trend for the institutional side of the business. The tide is turning on digital assets, and fintech is entering a golden age. For more details on his observations, you can find a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. This is from Jordan & Jordan from a couple of days ago. GameStop put odd lots on the tape, by Tom Jordan. To be clear, I believe the United States has the best markets for retail investors in the world. There are approximately 6 million non-professionals who receive free real-time market data paid for by a broker and can receive an execution with no commission and a confirmation within seconds. However, as was clearly communicated during the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Financial Services meetings, there are legitimate issues that should be debated to continually improve our capital markets. My comment: when I was a Cub reporter with Commodity News Service, the author was the managing director of Americas for Knight Ridder, the firm that owned the wire service. Here's a press release from Merrick Spectron. Merrick Spectron acquires Star Supply, continues to expand through acquisition and organic growth. Merrick Spectron, an essential tech-enabled liquidity hub connecting clients to global energy, commodities, and financial markets, has today announced the acquisition of Star Supply, a leading Rotterdam-based broker of physical oil products. This is the latest in a series of acquisitions that has seen Merrick's expand its presence in specialist commodity markets and confirm its market leadership. My comment: now I know where the Spectron comes from, a galaxy far, far away. Here is a press release from Three Points Communications. Closing the DEI gap, a Q&A with Candace Washington of Pivotal Impact, part one. In recognition of Black History Month last month and Women's History Month this month, and of the reminders they bring about the work we all can do to make sure that our spaces are inclusive, Three Points' Katie O'Shea spoke with Candace Washington, the founder and CEO of Pivotal Impact. Pivotal Impact is a talent and organizational development consulting firm that helps emerging leaders build the skills to navigate workplaces and helps organizations build and maintain diverse, equitable, and inclusive cultures. Like Three Points, Pivotal Impact has a particular focus on helping fintech organizations. My comment: 3 points and pivotal impact were made for each other. Here are your top three most read stories from Thursday's JLN. The most clicked piece on Thursday was a video done by the Financial Times, GameStop's Wild Ride, How Redditors Took on Wall Street. Next up was the Bloomberg opinion piece, We Must Start Planning for a Permanent Pandemic, which was also among Wednesday's top three stories. And number three was the news from the Wall Street Journal that Fidelity plans to launch Bitcoin ETF. Your Crypto Markets Wiki coin of the week is Filecoin. Filecoin announced this week that it has integrated with Chainlink, allowing it to connect with other blockchain protocols like Ethereum. The integration will automate data transfers between Filecoin storage features and allow developers to potentially create functions that enable smart contracts to operate between blockchains like Ethereum and Filecoin. For example, because of the integration, a smart contract developer could potentially create a smart contract that accesses Filecoin's decentralized data storage. Here are your Markets Wiki statistics of the day. The site now has 201,952,020 pages viewed. There are 25,524 pages on the site with 231,180 edits. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.